He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This has been an interesting Lenten season for me. Lent is still a little bit foreign to me. I'm still trying to make it part of my rhythm. I haven't really connected with the whole give something up for Lent idea. And I know one purpose is to draw us into prayer. Well, the first 3 weeks of Lent, our entire family was sick with the flu, and you know, we had the prayer thing down, at least during those few weeks. What I did find myself doing, however, is spending a lot of time really contemplating the cross. And at one point, it hit me just how odd it is, if you really think about it, that we make the cross the central symbol of our faith in religion. We embrace it. We love it. We wear it around our necks. Some inscribe it on their skin. We mark ourselves with the cross. We venerate it. But the cross was an instrument of death. And on Good Friday, we come face to face with the paradox of Christianity, one of the paradoxes, and that is that we would actually adore the very instrument upon which the Creator of the universe was crucified. All things being equal, as the church grew and flourished and became established, the symbol ought to have been an anathema. All references eliminated, the idea of the cross expunged. This has happened many times in history. Hitler did it, Stalin did it. The pharaohs were masters at rewriting history. In a sense, the cross makes no sense. It made no sense that Friday morning. The disciples fled. The women who followed him wept. Even Jesus himself prayed for a way out. The cross was designed as an efficiently cruel form of death. The wood was heavy. It was rough hewn, and as you carried the cross, jagged splinters would grind into your broken flesh. Nails were driven in the pain centers of your arm and placed in such a way that prevented rapid blood loss. And once on the cross, yours would be a slow, agonizing death. You are positioned in such a way that typically you would suffocate to death. And if you didn't suffocate, you would die from exposure to the elements. The cross was a cross of shame and rejection as well. Hanging there, you would endure intense ridicule from Romans and Jews alike. And for Jesus, the cross was no mere physical death either. It was there that he was abandoned, forsaken, and rejected by his Father. He cried in agony, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" See, the reason I find it odd that we actually embrace the cross is that at that moment, a great travesty took place. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died. And it was the worst thing that ever happened in history. And yet, something happened that turned this symbol of loss and betrayal into a symbol of hope. The instrument of death became an instrument of life. The cross of shame became the most important symbol of Christian faith and hope. The rough-hewn instrument of torture became a soft, polished expression of love. It's because of Easter that we love the cross. He went to cross to bear our sins so we wouldn't have to. And his resurrection declared to all creation victory over sin and death. Because of what he bore on that despicable instrument of torture, this most despised of symbols became the most cherished. Because the worst thing to ever happen in history became the best thing to ever happen in history. And that's why we love it. The second thing that occurred to me was that because of how much we love the cross, it's possible to lose sight of the fact that we still carry two crosses. We embrace the cross of victory. But when Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me," he wasn't referring to the beautiful polished hardwood or brass or gold cross of victory, but the rough, splinter-laden cross of sacrifice. Take up your cross isn't about resisting the temptation for chocolate or alcohol or Netflix or whatever you gave up for Lent. It means losing our lives for the sake of Christ. And for the disciples, it was personal. For them, they were being called to embrace their very means of death. It means bearing insults and shame for being identified with Christ. Paul said, "I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ." It means personal sacrifice for the sake of others. Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for a friend." It means loving in ways that Christ loved, seeing the lost masses and having compassion for them. You see, just as the disciples, we are called to walk this path, to carry our cross and follow Christ. As one writer puts it, following Jesus to Golgotha is not some tedious detour. It is the main road. We can only hope to be ready when he leads us along paths that we never would have chosen for ourselves. We love the cross despite its amazing cruelty. We love the cross because of what it means for our eternity. We love the cross because it was there that God manifested his love for us. And it is the prime of example of how we are supposed to show love for others. So when we come inside to worship, we approach the cross of victory and we praise God for what he has done. But when we leave this building, we take up the cross of sacrifice to serve the world. Amen.